The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you for joining this podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Good Ranchers. If you're interested, you want more information, go to goodranchers.com/Tatum to get more information.
Brandon Tatum is a 7-year veteran of the Tucson Police Department. He's a YouTube sensation with 1.9 million subscribers. He started Blexit with Candace Owens, and now he's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. You better join in on this fight. Call in 844-900-7243. I'm about to go off because there's not enough Christians out here standing up, telling the truth, and being bold and having courage. But this LGBTQ, AARP, whatever they want to call it nowadays, is a slippery slope. You gave them an inch, they took a mile. Let me give you an example, ladies and gentlemen. In Dallas, at a gay bar, and listen, parents who participate in this, in my personal opinion, should be evaluated, and their children should be monitored and potentially taken away from them, because this is child abuse. This is child perversion. So in Dallas, Texas, some of you guys may have heard of this. There's a drag king. It's called the Drag the Kids to Pride, a show at the Mr. Mister's Bar, which is a gay bar. And the venue is the regular bar is considered to be a champagne drag brunch where they have men dressed like women. Impersonating women, impersonating sexuality of women, and dancing like sluts in front of other adults. But this time they want to bring kids and get the kids involved. So this 21 and over bar that is reserved for adult behavior, they now held an event called Drag the Kids to Pride, where they now are allowing children, and these kids look like they have to be 11, 12, maybe even younger than that. They're allowing them to be in this bar. The parents are there, and they have these men, these grown tail men with the stuff hanging out, wearing thongs, dancing for these children, and these children are giving them money. They're putting money in their thongs. And parents thought that this was okay. A mother at the protest, because obviously there were protests that ensued, rightfully so. A mother at the protest says she lived in a community for many years. She wanted to go by Daisy. She didn't want anybody to know her, probably her real name. She didn't want to get doxxed. She was holding a sign that says, "Stop grooming children." She says she have lived there for several years in the community and don't believe that it should be seen or to be seeing signs advertising for children to be dancing on stage with men in thongs and inappropriate clothes and makeup. And, you know, the mission that she said her and other protesters were trying to accomplish, the mission was to raise awareness that this event was there, and a drag show for children was happening in Dallas, which is supposed to be conservative. But we know that these Democrats run these major cities in conservative red states, and they really run them into the ground. And she wanted and hoped that they would cancel the show so that children could not be there getting exposed to sexuality. This is just one example. I'll go through a couple, and then I'm going to give you my layout of what's going on in America. The Rays, Tampa Bay Rays, a baseball team, a couple players decided to decline wearing LGBTQ logos on their uniform for religious purposes. Obviously, if you're a Christian, you should have nothing to do with this. But they're forcing their players, or at least encouraging their players, to put homosexual colors on their uniforms, which have nothing to do with baseball, have nothing to do with love who you love. None of that is applicable and appropriate. Joe Biden threatens to take away school lunch money that doesn't adhere to trans agenda. Now, obviously, it's not specifically Joe Biden, but his administration, according to the Food and Nutrition Services, which is a segment or agency within the USDA, they've announced that if certain schools do not allow trans kids to go into the bathroom and the showers of their choice, they could lose funding associated with lunch money. And we know that a lot of children that are going to these inner city schools probably need help from the government to fund the school to help with free lunches. But they're threatening to take that away from certain schools if they don't adhere to the agenda of these cowardice people who are evil and, you know, want to push sexuality. Now that I got all that crap out of the way, let's talk about this. The LGBTQ agenda is not an agenda of loving who you love. Most people who just want to be left alone and love who they love, they are living their lives not thinking twice about some Pride Month. The others are pushing sexual immorality. This has nothing to do with loving who you love. This is sexual perversion. If it wasn't sexual perversion, then what does love who you love have to do with kids and trans men or drag queens dancing sexually in front of them? What does that have to do with Pride Month? If you look at any of these Pride parades, go to any of them. You see them on TV, they're displayed. It's people displaying sexual immorality. There is no month or no celebration of interracial marriages. Are there? Is there an interracial love month? Meaning that every interracial couple comes out and celebrate the fact that in our country now you can marry a person that's a different race. Do they have a Pride Month for interracial dating? No, or marriages? No, they don't. Because it does not include specific elements of sexuality, sexual perversion. Let me just say this, and I know a lot of people are going to be mad at me, but I don't care. You have a choice whether or not you want to indulge in homosexual behavior. You don't have a choice of whether or not you're black. And the LGBTQ movement is piggybacking off of the black suffrage movement in order to gain ground and relevance. This is two different things. I'm born, I cannot control what the color of my skin is. I can't control that. I can't change it. I can't come out of the closet and say, hey, everybody, I'm black. I want y'all to know I'm black. Do you accept me? I can't change that. And I don't want to hear nobody say, oh, they're born this way. Now, even if you want to believe that theory, not everybody's born that way. Am I right? We all know people who have been molested and abused, and it triggers something in them that causes them to want to be with the opposite. I mean, to be with the same sex. I know people like that. I know people that when we were younger, they were straight. Then they turned gay and then they straight again. Or younger people who are maybe masculine. And then they grow up and people thrust them into this environment in which they believe that the appropriate response to being a masculine woman is to be gay, to be with another woman. A man who is effeminate, for him to be gay and be with another man. That's not what we should be teaching society and our young people. That's not what we should be teaching them. I mean, you 18, you can do whatever you want to do. But in our society, if my son came to me and said, Dad, I think I'm gay. What response do you think as a Christian man I should have to my son? Yes, son, whatever you want to do. Here, let me go get you a little boyfriend. That's what society is doing. Let me take you to a gay bar and let you experience Pride Month. It's like, no, let me talk to my child and figure out where are you getting this from? Because last time I checked, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. So this must be a conflict between how God made you and what you're thinking in your mind. Now, we're going to have a conversation about it. I'm going to pray for you, and you ain't going to live a homosexual life in my house. And when you turn 18, do whatever you want. You can be trans. You can do whatever you want. You live under my house. I'm accountable to how I raise you. God is going to hold me accountable. You ain't going to just be doing that stuff in my house. And I don't understand how Christians feel or don't stand up to this rhetoric. That don't mean you hate somebody because you're holding true to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you ain't a Christian, then don't worry about what I'm saying. I'm talking about the Christians. You better stand up for the moral values of the Bible and quit worrying about what people think of you. I have plenty of people that I know, and I like them, and they're gay. But they know where I stand on the subject. I'm not in your bedroom. I'm not God. I'm not here to tell you going to heaven or hell. But you know where I stand on it. I don't approve of it. I don't approve of none of that homosexuality. I don't approve of none of it. Does that mean I hate you? No, it doesn't. Because I really don't care what you do in your life. Unless you pay my bills, you feed me and my family, I can care less what you do. But when what you're doing begins to interfere with my constitutional rights or begins to interfere with the education that my child is getting, then that's when I have a problem. If you love who you love, go ahead and love who you love. I know dudes right now that sleep with more women, than you can imagine. Are they celebrating that? I don't approve of it, but are they celebrating it? Are they going around and saying, look, I got the most women on my notch belt. Let's celebrate promiscuity month. How many men has slept with the most women? Nobody's doing that. Why? Because it's inappropriate. Nobody cares who you sleep with. Why can people who love who they love and keep it to yourself? Do what you got to do. Nobody know what I'm doing in my bedroom? It's because it's sexual immorality. It is a lustful sexual spirit that have hit the United States of America. And because we lack God in our retention, we don't hold people accountable. You listen to the Al Statham Show. I'm going to come back for more. Hold the phone. Summer grilling is upon us, and if you're looking for a perfect cut to put on a grill this year, look no further. Good Ranchers is the place to get American beef, chicken, and seafood this summer. They sell 100% American meat shipped to your front door, and right now they're giving away two free 18-ounce prime center cut ribeyes to every person that use my code Tatum. That's over 2 pounds of prime ribeye steak at no cost to you. With Father's Day coming up and all the summer events, this is a perfect time to try a box of Good Ranchers. You can make a one-time purchase or subscribe and save $25 off every box. Plus, you'll get two free 18-ounce boneless ribeyes. Other places will charge you well over $50 a steak to get ribeyes like these. But Good Ranchers is giving them to you for free when you go to goodranchers.com/Tatum. This is a limited stock item. Right now, go to goodranchers.com/Tatum and use my code Tatum at the checkout and get your two free 18-ounce ribeyes. Start the summer off right with Good Ranchers American meat delivery.
Officer Tatum Show, 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm back as your host, Brandon Tatum, on the Officer Tatum Show. Ladies and gentlemen, I got callers calling in. I think it's Ty and Sylvia. I'll get to you guys really soon. I want to make this point. You know, I know people probably may be upset. Not y'all. I mean, some of y'all are smart. But most of y'all are smart. They listen to me. But some people may get upset that first-time listeners, people that are indoctrinated by the liberal agenda, may be upset with what I said about the LGBTQ community, about the gay stuff going way too far. Listen, it's not that you have to dislike anybody. I would never hurt anybody. I would never harm anybody. It's just do you and stay in your lane. My problem is that they're now funneling this ideology onto the world stage. You got teams putting gay flags everywhere. You got all of these things. You've seen an increase. Bill Maher said it on his show. You've seen an increase in people identifying in the LGBTQ community. How in the world is that possible? According to the charts, by 2050-something, everybody's going to identify as gay. How is that possible? Is there something in the water? Is this an Alec Jones skit where they're turning the frogs gay? They're turning people gay? How is that possible? It's because propaganda and an agenda. People don't have fathers that can teach them right from wrong. Christians are becoming cowards. And they want to sit around and play the game, use the title Christian, but they don't want to get out and do nothing. They don't want to be persecuted for any reason. They won't stand and hold the line and say right is right and wrong is wrong. I got a couple callers that's going to call in, and then next I'm going to have Kara Fredericks that's going to come in and talk about social media policies and what conservatives can do in this mist of disinformation and censorship on social media platforms. So let me welcome Ty from Texas. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hey, Brandon. Thank you for taking my call. Really, really appreciate it. You bring up something that I think is one of the major issues that we face in this country, and it's Christians not being willing to stand up and have conviction. And I grew up in a Southern Oklahoma Assembly of God church, and, you know, you get some really good principled messages. And it was always kind of based around loving and understanding, but it was never followed up by, you have to stand up and have conviction in what you believe in. And if you don't bring the fight to the necessary issues that we face, we're going to get ran over. And that kind of, that has led me to my point. Back, I had a huge fight with my boss back whenever, argument, if you will, back whenever homosexual marriage was legalized. And he was basically telling me, you know, why not just let them love each other, do their thing, represented under union? And I said, you know what, that's fine. But if it were to stop there, that would have been fine. But my common sense and wisdom tells me that evil does not stop with one win. And it didn't. It went straight to the open bathroom policy. It went straight to LGBTQ principles being taught in schools, which went straight to an out-of-control transsexual movement, Brandon, that has led over the course of 2010 to 2018, we saw a 4,000% increase in young girls identifying that they want to transition in some way, shape, or form to young men. That is not biological maturation. That is a seeding and a pushing of a movement and a mindset that is now being poured upon our nation. And they're targeting the most youngest, vulnerable minds, those. And like you said, sir, how many times have you saw somebody that's straight go to gay, go back to straight? I've witnessed it several times. And, Ty, you know, if we don't bring the fight, we don't stand up, we're done.
Ty, thank you so much for the call. 1,000%. Christians, listen to me closely. You better put on your big boy pants and you better bring the fight. Because you give them an inch, they take a mile. Now it's hard to get prayer back in the schools. They may never return that. Now it's going to be hard for them to get the LGBTQ agenda out of your child's school. They are pushing it down the throats of young people. Why? Why is this just not relegated to adults who can make adult decisions? Why is transgenderism taught to little kids? Why are teachers using gay flashcards to teach children certain colors? It's an agenda, ladies and gentlemen. They need to get them while they're young, while they're malleable, while their brains are still forming. Trick them, convince them that there's another perspective. When you are sad or you're confused, that you may be gay. You may actually be a man. Or in the case of young children, you may be a boy. Your parents are wrong. I just spoke about a parent that sued the school district. I think it was in Wisconsin. She sued the school district because the teachers were grooming her kid and saying that they were going to rely on the child's perspective of gender over the parents. And the parents took her out of school, and all of a sudden her gender identity goes back to normal. They're grooming these kids. There's social pressure involved. There's peer pressure involved, especially young children that may not feel like they fit in. Oh, they're going to be popular if they're trans. They're going to be popular if they have green hair. They're going to find a purpose. And young kids don't know what they're doing with sexuality when they're young. Grown people don't know how to handle sexuality properly. Grown people. If you look at the matrix of suicide, people in the LGBTQ community commit suicide at a higher rate. Why? Because they lied to them when they were young. They lied to them when they were young adults. And then they wake up with the dress on and the wig on and they realize that they will never be a woman. Young boys wearing a dress and a wig, impersonating women, and when they get out into the real world outside of fantasy land, they realize they'll never be a woman. You will never have children. You will never have what women have once a month. And some of you clowns will probably enjoy not having that, but still want to be called a woman. And the reason I'm so furious about it, because this is destroying our society. We let them make it. Love who you love. Okay, go ahead with your bad self. But now you want the pastor at the Christian church to marry you. You know, it has gone too far. And we don't have to hate each other, but we have to keep it 100. We got to keep it real. I don't have to hate you, but I'm going to hold up to what God has said and prescribed in the Word of God. And if I can't do that, I need to lay down the title Christian. And a lot of you Christians may not want to hear what I have to say, but when are you going to stand up? People like to say Jesus was with the sinners, but he did not commit sin. Just because he around people, he didn't become them. And last time I checked, according to Jesus, if you don't follow what he said, what he prescribed, you're going to hell. I think that's worse than telling somebody the harsh truth of the principles of God. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Do you really love him? Or are you posing? Are you being a fake and a fraud? And you ain't got to be holier than thou, but at least follow the word of God and help your brothers and sisters make it to the kingdom. You listen to the Austin Tatum Show. I'll be back after the break with Kara Frederick. I'll see you guys after the break.
Brandon Tatum, unafraid to tell it like it is.
As you know, our friend Mike Liddell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. He did not stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike Liddell has done it again, introducing his My Slippers. For a limited time, you will save $90 on a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last long, so order now. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop this. The My Slippers are designed to wear indoors and out all day long, made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, made with quality leather suede. Call 1-800-976-8379. Use promo code Brandon or go to MyPillow.com. Click the radio listener's square and use promo code Brandon. This offer will not last long. So order now with promo code Brandon at MyPillow.com.
Breaking news and what to make of it. The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. Follow me on social media on all the platforms at The Officer Tatum. Go to my website, TheOfficerTatum.com. I have a special guest, Kara Frederick, and she is a research fellow in the Center of Technology Policy at the Heritage Foundation. Kara, first of all, I got some breaking news that came to me in my ear before we joined, and I want to talk about this. Elon Musk and Twitter. Now, we all know that Elon Musk was scheduled to acquire Twitter, but now with the bot situation, them, pretty much what happened is they're being deceitful. They claim that it was worth more than what it really is because bots do not count for success and it does not count for involvement and engagement. So he may walk away from this. Can you talk a little bit about this and give us your thoughts on Elon Musk potentially walking away from the Twitter deal?
Yeah, there are a couple of schools of thoughts here. Well, one of them thinks that, okay, maybe Elon is just trying to get himself more favorable terms for this deal. He is a businessman, after all. The richest man in the world doesn't become rich by spending all his money. So there is an idea that, okay, he might be trying to negotiate for a better deal, and he actually might still be committed fully to the acquisition. He said as much a few weeks ago when all of this consternation about Twitter's, what they're actually saying about their bot levels started roiling around. This seems to be the most serious step that he's taken in order to potentially extricate himself from the acquisition. Lawyers sending letters around, it could be sort of game gamesmanship, but it also could be very serious. And what I think is really interesting in this regard is more breaking news. The attorney general from Texas, Ken Paxton, he basically said that if this is true, then we are going to take it to Twitter. And he filed basically looking at Texas's Deceptive Trade Practices Act to protect the Texan consumer. So he's taking what Elon is saying very seriously. In his statement, he's targeting Twitter. He basically said they said it was about 5% in their public documents, but it might be as much as 20%. So it looks like Elon is creating a little bit of a snowball effect when it comes to Twitter's woes. I've heard that Elon Musk takeover touted as the free market solution. You know, this is why tech companies don't have to be reined in, because we've got billionaires, you know, waiting to buy these platforms. Not true whatsoever. Look how difficult this has been. So in my estimation, it's a little naive to think that we're going to have white knights riding out of the woodwork to save us conservatives from censorship and the abuses these big tech companies are visiting upon the American people. And I don't think it's a replicable strategy. I hope Elon prevails, but it's looking really sticky at this point.
Kara, I already loved you already. A wonderful take on this. I want to add to this thought process, because I think a lot of people were initially confused at what Elon Musk did. You know, many people thought Elon Musk already acquired Twitter, and that's why we saw a bump in follows and action on the Twitter platform. And that was because just the thought process of him acquiring Twitter made a lot of people go back to Twitter. But I want to jump to this other subject, because Twitter and Elon Musk is on a very same path, in which I wanted to bring you on to talk about, is that one of the reasons that he claimed that he's going to acquire Twitter is because of the censorship. Can you talk to the audience about what's going on with the censorship, and what are politicians doing? What can they do? You know, how do we play in the middle with political leverage that's being placed upon these social media platforms, as well as what the consumer would like to have happen?
Yeah, so there's a bunch of layers to the censorship issue. And the way I like to describe it as, there's an information access issue, and then there's an information manipulation and suppression issue. So the access issue, you can go all the way down to the bottom of the tech stack, which is what nerds like us talk about when it comes to digital platforms are sitting at the top. They're resting on servers like cloud hosting services infrastructure, and then those are dependent on internet service providers. So when you look at something like what happened to Parler, this is a massive thing with regard to censorship, right? But it cuts to the information access point. If Amazon Web Services can yank their cloud hosting servers, can yank Parler from their servers, then that ceases to exist as it was originally conceived. I mean, Parler's back now, but they're under a lot of strictures, and they haven't even gained the 4% of growth that they were getting in those early days of January 2021. So the access issue, huge. But then when it comes to the suppression, I mean, for me, it was the crossing.
Kara, I hate to cut you off. I want to bring you to the next segment. I know you're going to make an incredible point. So hold that thought. We'll come back in the next segment. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Kara Frederick, research fellow in the Center of Technology Policy at the Heritage Foundation. Y'all hold the phone. Come back after the break.
Making a difference in this culture war. The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. I know y'all enjoying y'allself. I got a special guest, Kara Frederick, social media guru. She's a research fellow in the Center of Technology Policy at the Heritage Foundation. She's been doing an incredible job walking us through Elon Musk and a little situation there at Twitter. And also, what can we do as, you know, conservative people on these social media platforms? And right before the break, Kara, we were talking about it, and you were explaining what we should do about censorship and how that all works within the scope of, you know, the government partnering with social media. We talked about the cloud service and how they've knocked off Parler. But I'll let you finish your thought on social media censorship. So go ahead, take it away.
Yeah, I think this is something where, you know, conservatives have been on the defensive here. You know, people will say, oh, it's all in your head, it's not really happening. But we actually have the data to show that this is happening, and it's happening at a grand scale. So the Media Research Center found that Twitter and Facebook censor Republican members of Congress at a rate of 53-1 compared to Democrat members of Congress. You have a recent study coming out of NC State that says Google sends 2/3 of conservative or Republican candidates' political messages to your spam. compared to Democrats. So, you know, these are just two instances, and I can go on and on and on. You know, the Hunter Biden laptop story, the Wuhan lab leak, that was censored. So there's so many, not just anecdotal instances, but now we're actually able to say that this matters when it comes to the data. We can put ratios to this stuff. Google search visibility for Breitbart shrank 99% from 2016 election year to the 2020 election year. Facebook created two internal tools that suppress very conservative media on its platform. The list goes on and on and on. So when people say this is all in conservatives' heads, that thought in and of itself is all in their head.
So what you're telling me is that we are right and these social media conglomerates are censoring us and we're not making this up and crying like babies. This is this really is happening. Proof, evidence that we are being censored. Now, I want to say this and give this comment. I know for a fact people can say whatever they want. I mean, you have already explained all of the evidence that proves this, but I know for a fact they censored me on social media. I see it happening. I remember last year they had all of the conservatives censored. We weren't getting any likes, no shares. We weren't getting any views. And then all of a sudden one day, it's like they released it. We were getting double the views. We were getting double the subscribers. Like, they have it out for us. Now, the real question, am I saying your name right, Kara, or is it Kara?
Yeah. Sounds great.
Kara. Okay. Perfect. I knew my public school education hasn't failed me yet. So what can we do as conservatives? What's the recourse that we have? Are we doomed, or is there something that we can do and there's some leverage that we have in order to combat the censorship?
Yeah, I think there's a number of things that we can do. And frankly, you know, there Congress does have a role to play here. While the states are moving out, I mean, they are the prime movers when it comes to this. If you look at Texas, if you look at Florida, if you look at what Georgia and Ohio are actually trying to do, they are the ones because their constituents, the grassroots, the base is saying, what is going on here? Like, how do we fight back against these ostensibly private companies and, you know, get ourselves do recourse and help us actually have a voice on these platforms? Because these platforms are acting very monopolist. They control the flow of information. And, you know, I don't think people should forget that because of this censorship, they're able to censor like they do because they are so powerful. They've concentrated and consolidated their power with government help from 1996 onward. They have that immunity from civil liability for content on their platform called Section 230. So that this is a government-enhanced artifact. You know, these, they're benefits of government rules. So I think the states can do what they're doing, and then Congress can also redress that imbalance between the user and the platforms themselves. First of all, they can prohibit government use of these tech companies as their agents to chill speech. As we talked about before, when you and I were chatting before this, Jen Psaki went up to the White House podium last July and she said, we're working with Facebook to flag and censor users. Within 30 days, Facebook took down those 12 users that she referred to in her press conference with the Surgeon General. DHS Secretary Mayorkas said something along similar lines. Joe Biden himself, Psaki said it again when she was still in that role, saying Spotify has to do more to censor Joe Rogan. So this is a government's thumb on the scale of these big tech companies. So when they're acting and saying we're just private companies, actually you're acting as quasi-state actors by responding directly to censorship demands on behalf of the Biden administration. And there's many more examples of this, some even at the state level too. So Congress, let's make a law to prohibit government use of these private companies to chill speech. It's unconstitutional, as the legal case Norwood versus Harrison demanded. The government cannot outsource to private entities what itself cannot do under the Constitution, and that would be through the Bill of Rights and the free speech. So do that, enforce antitrust law so they can't consolidate this power, monopolize the market, stiff arm competitors and new entrants so that we don't have a choice. You know, we have to be on Facebook and Twitter for these network effects because everyone else is there because, you know, they've gotten, again, this government enhanced property. So that's two things right away that the government, that Congress can do in addition to what the states are layering over them. And then at the Heritage Foundation, we have a whole paper on exactly a roadmap to cutting the power and reining in the power of big tech so they can't do what they're doing to half the country anymore.
Awesome, awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Kara Frederick. She is a guru in this social media space. You already know. You listen to what she had to say. She's a research fellow in the Center of Technology and Policy at the Heritage Foundation. Is she gone or is she still here? Because I want her to tell the audience where they can find her at. She's on social media. I could probably figure that out if she's already gone. But
I'm here. You're here.
Okay, can you tell us real quick? I only got like a minute. Where can people find you? Where can people find you on social media? How do people follow you? You're such an incredibly smart person, and I think the world needs to hear more of what you have to say. Can you tell us real quick where people can find you and your work?
Yeah, thank you, sir. First, I'll be at heritage.org. So that's the Heritage site. All my stuff is on the big tech page. And then if you have to use social media, which we do, it's the public square right now, right? I'm at Kara, K-A-R-A-A, Frederick, F-R-E-D-E-R-I-C-K on Twitter. So Kara A. Frederick on Twitter.
Thank you so much for showing up. Y'all, ladies and gentlemen, Kara Frederick, y'all go follow her.
Officer Tatum Show, 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I hope you guys are having a wonderful day, a wonderful evening. Some of you guys are getting off work. Some of you guys are already at work. Some of you guys are getting ready to go to bed. I want to finish my conversation about these Democrats. You know, I had all this stuff I wanted to talk about, but I feel like that God is just leading me to another direction. We talked about abortion. That's what they're pushing. We talk about gun laws and violating your Second Amendment rights. That's what they're pushing. There's nobody on planet Earth that want to see kids get killed. I don't care what nobody say. It's a matter of principle, right? Some parties want power. Some parties want what the people want. And the Democrat Party want power. They want control over you. Or they're just completely stupid. One of the two is happening here. More so, the Republicans are saying we need to preserve your Second Amendment rights. Because just like the LGBTQ slippery slope, that's what the Second Amendment has a slippery slope to. Once they start federalizing laws and restrictions on your constitutional rights, they don't undo them. And I know for a fact that they want you to be unarmed. They don't want you to have a gun. And they want you to rely on the police officers in the state. And then they tell you to defund the police. So in actuality, they want you to rely on a federal police. Because they want you to defund the police. They want to humiliate police. They want them to quit. They want them to be incompetent and inept. They want the numbers to show that police aren't helping or curbing any crime. Crime is going out of control. Oh, local police can't handle it. We need to bring in federal police. That's what they want, ladies and gentlemen. They want you to be unarmed. They don't want you to have a gun. Well, how dare you have a gun to defend yourself? They want to be able to control the narrative. They want to be able to control the crime rate. They want to be able to control and put you in fear. Because if you don't have a gun, and now the criminals are out of control with guns, they can't help you. They can't save you. And now you're going to live in constant fear. And who are you going to rely on? You're not going to rely on God. You're not going to rely on your constitutional right to carry. You're going to be relying on the government. And the government is going to decide whether you have adequate protection of your family or not. That's a risky place that you do not want to be in. And I want people to understand that. When the Democrats push policies, and I don't know if it's just they're dumb or they're evil, but they push policies for power, not for the people. I got a caller calling in from South Carolina. Bruno, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Thank you, Officer Tatum. Thank you, Officer Tatum. It's great to listen to you. I don't understand why more people aren't talking about that. The Second Amendment was not intended for us to be able to hunt. It was intended so that the populace could keep government from bullying us, like England was doing to the settlers. And the other thing is that the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights were not intended to be a framework to govern over the people. They were a framework to bind the government, to keep them from doing to us what King George was doing to us.
Bruno, thank you so much for the call. Right. 100% right. This is something that a guy told me at the gun store the other day, because you know I'm gonna buy as many guns as I can. Now they didn't start me up again. But I was at the gun store, and that's what was said, is that the reason that we're here today is because the rights of the people. And you know, our constitutional rights aren't somehow given to us by the government. The government This is to hold the government accountable to this. This is a memo to them saying our gun rights shall not be infringed to them. This ain't to us. Our First Amendment rights, the freedom to assemble, the freedom of speech. It's so the government knows that they cannot infringe on our freedoms. That, you know, people have gotten this twisted. And I'm glad Bruno brought this up. People have gotten this twisted. The government don't run the people. The people run the government. The government are to answer to us. They'll go out and spend all this money and blow our accounts and put us in debt, and we looking at the government to fix it. No, we should be firing these people. The people. This country is for the people, not the government. The government should be minimalized, meaning that we shouldn't have government restrictions on half of the stuff we do. Government, the federal government should have absolutely nothing to do with the everyday lives of people who live in what we call the United States. It should be very minimal. You talk about red flag laws, stuff, federal level shouldn't even be having that conversation. You talk about laws of incarceration, the federal government shouldn't have anything to do with what the states are doing. I mean, we can go down a list methodically. Gun laws, gun legislation, gun rights. The federal government should have nothing to do with that. Only way the federal government should be involved if a state is violating your constitutional rights. And the federal government can come and prevent the state from violating your rights. That's the only way the federal government should be involved in anything. But we as the people, low information voters, we don't know what we talk. We have no idea. We more focus on the settlers or the people that started or the founding fathers of the country were racist white people. Do you not understand? Listen, do you not understand the beauty of the Declaration of Independence? Do you not understand the Constitution of the United States of America? Do you not understand the Bill of Rights? Do you not understand the significance? Because these brain dead people are not teaching American citizens about these things. They want you to talk about LGBTQ this month. They're not teaching you about the beauty of how the foundation of this country. And you know, this makes me extremely upset when they say this country was built on racism. You know what I mean, people? You know what I mean, white people, white men died so that slavery could be abolished in the United States of America. You know how many white men died to keep us free in all of these wars? White men. I look at the history books and I look at all these brave, courageous white men who took a step and died. These young men who had a hope and a dream that America will fulfill its promise, was in a foreign land and was killed, never to return again. And I don't understand how people go off and talk bad about white people. Oh, the white man has done this. Well, all y'all live in these European, Eurocentric countries, don't you? Y'all want to go in Europe? You want to live in America? You want to live in North America? Y'all don't want to live in Africa, do you? Y'all don't want to live in some of these Middle Eastern places, do you? No, you want to live in America. You want to live where all the white people that live at. But then you're talking about white people, so white man bad. If it wasn't for these white men, black people, I got 20 seconds. I'm coming back after the break, but black men would not have the life that we live. Millionaires and billionaires, the most prosperous black people in the world, would not exist if it wasn't for white people fighting in these wars. You listen to the Officer Tatum Show. I'll be back after the break.
Public education has gone off the rails. Parents and teachers have had enough. Watch the groundbreaking new documentary, Whose Children Are They? Today on SalemNow.com. Go to SalemNow.com today.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. Follow me on social media at The Officer Tatum, Tatum, T-A-T-U-M. I want to get back into talking about the white man. You know, I've looked at the history books. I've been to many of these war exhibits, and I'm not the type of person that really care about race, man. I'm, you know, God just ended up making my skin black, but it have nothing to do with nothing. My soul is in the hands of the Lord Jesus. my skin have nothing to do with nothing. I just tan better than some of y'all. But people love to hate white men and act as if the white man is bad. The white man did this to the Indians. The white man had black men in slavery. You know, I'm so sick of hearing that stuff. I'm sick of it. There were some white men that were involved in that. That don't mean every white man was. Even in the United States of America, even in the inception, during slavery, not every white man owned a slave. Not every white person even believed in slavery. You had the North and you had the South. Indentured servitude was different than slavery. I don't know how we're still talking about this at this point. Your ancestors, which ancestors? You know that black people owned slaves too. You know the first legal slave owner was Anthony Johnson, who was a black man. First legal slave owner in the United States of America. He had two indentured servants. He went to court, believe it or not, in the 1600s. He went to court and won to have these two indentured servants be his slaves for life. There were hundreds of black people who owned hundreds of slaves. Quit acting like it's just a white man thing. Black men, black people sold their own people around the world. You mad at slavery, you can go get mad at people in Africa. They the one sold them to the white man. They the one watched them put them on the boat and cram them in there and knew they weren't going to make it. They knew the white man that came for months from the Americas. They sold your butt. They put these black people on that boat. They let them off. They knew they weren't going to live. Ain't no way in the world they thought them black people going to live on the boat like that. They didn't care. They didn't care about you. You mad at the white man. Be mad at the black man for selling the black man to the white man. And you know, hey, they sold them all over the world. Black men were in the slave trade all over the world. Sold by who? The black man. Now, I'm not trying to make this a racial thing, but man, I am sick. I am sick of it. Because I look into the eyes, proverbial eyes, right? I'm looking into the eyes of these men who did such heroic things in our country, who fought and made a difference, who are dead today, and they didn't get to see the fruits of their sacrifice. And many of them were white men. And I know there's a lot of heroic black men in our country as well. But my God, I'm sick of people making a mockery of some of our forefathers. You know, even Robert E. Lee. You know, people get mad at Robert E. Lee. Robert E. Lee wasn't all perfect, but he wasn't all bad either. People don't know that Robert E. Lee helped free tons of slaves. Robert E. Lee inherited slavery from his father. And in those days, what are you going to do? Let your whole ranch go to crap? All these slaves that your father owned, you're just going to free them all? You know, people, you weren't alive during that time, so you don't know what that was like. So Robert E. Lee went to help free plenty of slaves. And his will was to free all of the slaves. And his father's will was to free all of the slaves that he owned. And Robert E. Lee, if you look at some of his writings, he believed that slavery was wrong. It was not what God intended for us to do. He knew it was wrong. He believed it was wrong. And he had it in his will to free the slaves. But, you know, people that don't read a single book, they don't know that. They make these men out to be such evil devils. In their time period, they were doing what they thought was right. Some of them knew it was wrong and they abolished slavery. But then we look at it today. We still live in modern slavery. Somebody working slaving over a job and y'all paying them nothing. Nike got slaves in other countries right now making your Nike tennis shoes. Oh, y'all don't want to talk about that. Slave labor overseas. All these companies that you see, all these companies that you hear from when you call customer service and they speaking another language, they paying these people pennies. These people making $100 a year or something crazy. Oh, but y'all don't want to talk about that. That's modern day slavery, ladies and gentlemen. These people can barely survive, and they're working in sweatshops and all kind of other stuff. And American companies are exploiting it, and you buying the product, but then you crying about slavery. Ladies and gentlemen, slavery still exists today. Go to the Middle East, North Africa. They still got black people in chains. Oh, but LeBron James ain't gonna talk about that, will he? Not because he's too dumb. He don't know what he's talking about. He never done no research about nothing. But they'll beat up the white man in a minute. But they don't want to talk about the full history. They don't want to talk about how Harriet Tubman didn't do it on her own. She didn't go to La La Land. Anyway, I'm going to continue after break. Y'all can call in if you want to join the conversation.
Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the window, to the wall, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Call in 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. Let's get back into this. The white man, the white man, the white man. I love the white man. The white man has set us free. And people don't want to hear that. They want us to have division. Were there bad white people in our society? Yes. Are there bad black people in our society? Yes. Are there bad Hispanics, Asians? Okay, it's bad crazy people of all walks of life, all colors of skins. And we need to be balanced in that approach. There's a lot of white people that have done a lot of great things. How do you think the abolishment of slavery happened? The slaves didn't abolish themselves in America. White men did it. How did black people get the rights to citizenship in this country? Some good white man did it. How did black people get the right to vote in this country? Some good white man did it. And so just for every bad white man in history, there's a great white man. And I'm going to stand up for people who have done great things. There's a lot of great black people in our history. George Washington Carver was one of the greatest scientists. He created the most inventions out of any inventor, I think, in world history or in the United States history, for instance. There's great black people. The stoplight was created by a black man. Automatic transmission was created by a black man. The richest woman, the first female millionaire in history of the United States of America, in the history of the United States of America, was a black woman, Madam C.J. Walker. So there are black people that have contributed substantial amounts of success in this country. There are white people who have done the same. There are Hispanic people who have done the same. There's Asian people who have done the same. There's people who are foreign people who have come over to this country and assimilated to American values and have done tremendous work. We have to stop pitting against each other. The Democrats want us to pit against each other. Nowadays, they want everything to be racist. I remember one of the guys in my squad brought some fried chicken and some Kool-Aid and a watermelon to briefing because we had an ongoing joke. Nowadays, he'd have got fired. I thought it was funny. He went up me. I clowned that he's a redneck. He brought some fried chicken to briefing. Everybody laughed. Everybody thought it was funny. It was a good time. One of my best friends on the police department. Sick of this stuff, man. Lost one of my callers. I was going to bring him in. But if you want to call in, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243, we'll continue this conversation. Let me finish my thought, and I'll let y'all figure out the callers as they call in. We'll get them lined up. But, you know, I really want to see our country get to a place where we are loving one another and we are unified. And we can accomplish that by realizing that everybody don't have to kiss your butt. We could be different and we can love each other's differences without stepping on each other's toes. I go back to the point I made earlier in the show. If you're gay, I don't care. Whatever your salvation is between you and God. Now do you and stay in your lane. I'm straight. I'm going to do me and stay in my lane. I'm not going to show up at a gay bar and tell you how to live your life. I don't care what you do. You raise your kids the way you want to raise your kids. Now, when you come over in my lane, That's when we're going to have a problem. When you come and tell the church what they should be doing and what they can and cannot do and what they can and cannot say, oh, now we got a problem. When you're showing up at the school pushing LGBTQ Pride Month, now we got a problem. See, we don't have – this works very easily. We ain't got no problem if you ain't in my way. And if I ain't in your way, don't worry about what I'm doing. I ain't going around checking everybody's sexuality. I don't care. Can you get the job done or can you not? And what bothers me is they just push gay, 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 gay all in your face. Is there, can you hold a gun gay? Is there a gay gun out there? Is there a gay pencil? Do they have gay typewriters? I ain't on typewriters no more. Y'all get what I'm saying. They have a gay keyboard where you type it on the computer and it's gay. They have a gay alphabet. Come on, man. It's stupid. Nobody cares. I'm not checking who you're sleeping with. Don't check who I'm sleeping with. I don't know what your lusts are. Don't worry about mine. People should be able to exist together. You may worship out of the Quran. I worship out of the Bible. You stay in your lane. I stay in my lane. We live in America. Let's be happy. I ain't got nothing to say about Muhammad. Unless you're trying to say Muhammad has got it right and Jesus don't. Then we got a problem. Okay. Let me not get on y'all too bad. Let's see. I'm trying to filter through the calls. Y'all got to be talking about what I'm talking about to not bring you in. But we ain't got a problem, ladies and gentlemen. I want to be able to go to church and worship God and be happy. And you can, and in America, you can go to the mosque, you can go to the temple, and you can worship your God and be happy. The problem is that the government hates Christians, at least the Democrat government. They hate Christians. The white, straight Christian male is the biggest enemy of the United States of America for Democrats. Why? Because, unfortunately, when you look at the voting demographic, the white, straight Christian male is the only reason that this country is the way it is. And I know a lot of y'all are going to have questions about what I just said, but you can call in, stay after the break, and we'll jump into this conversation and listen to the Office Tatum Show. Hold the phone. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you for joining this podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Good Ranchers. If you're interested, you want more information, go to goodranchers.com/Tatum to get more information.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.